Coming on to today's topic of discussion, which is the Battle of Badr. And this is a very, very important topic for us all to reflect upon and for us to learn various lessons from in our life. But before we get into the actual topic of Badr itself, we need to understand why Badr took place. It's no point just talking about Badr happened, on this date it happened, this is how the enemies were and how the opponents were, this is how many people died, how many people were martyred, X, Y, and Z. No, there's so much more to the Battle of Badr and why it actually occurred. So just like we all know World War I occurred, World War II occurred, and the war in Ukraine, all the other wars throughout the world are occurring, but there's always a reason to why they occur. They don't just occur out of thin air and for no reason. So inshallah, we'll do a very, very quick recap and go through the context of how the Battle of Badr actually took place. And for that, we need to go back to the beginning of history and the beginning of Islam. So as you know, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was born in the sacred and noble city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And he was from the clan of Banu Hashim. And from his clan, many, many of the chiefs were the leaders of Quraysh. So it was a very, very prestigious tribe that he was in. The majority of the people of Quraysh are the ones that controlled Mecca and controlled the economy and controlled the trade at that time, and especially controlled what went on around the Kaaba itself. In spite of all of these things and situations, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam lived amongst these people. These polytheists, these mushriks, these people who were constantly trying to make more and more profit and money and undercutting other people or harming other people or even harming their own daughters, etc. He lived in that society and he maintained his innocence. He maintained his, his justice. He maintained, you know, his honesty and his integrity in spite of the ignorance and the injustice and the systems that were there in place that he was surrounded by. He maintained his character. And this one lesson which we all need to learn from that. It's too loud. That feedback, so. So this is an important lesson. This is an important lesson that we all need to learn, living here in the West or anywhere else in the world, that we are surrounded by lots of various different systems. But we need to make sure that we maintain ourselves and protect ourselves the way the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he continued to call out to Tawheed, to monotheism, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of the opposition that he had from the Quraysh, from the political leaders and from the economical leaders who rejected him and who mocked him. And then they tried to bribe him and they tried to offer him positions of wealth and control. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam rejected all of these and continued in his pursuit to call people to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important part to reflect upon in our lives, that you as youngsters, as future leaders, the future generations, in your workplace, in your schools, in your universities, in your communities, you will be told, oh, you don't need your deen, you don't need this particular identity, you don't need to behave or dress in this particular way. But you always need to remember that you are here not for them, you're not living for them, you're living for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to maintain your principles and your values just the way the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did. And in spite of all of the bribes and all of the threats and the persecutions, he maintained his path. And we also need to maintain our path in our schools, in our communities, in spite of whatever we may face from the government or from various other organizations across the world. But as we know, at the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's companions and sahaba, they did struggle. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he sent them to Abyssinia, which is where they lived for many, many years. And Abu Talib, who was the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he then stepped forward and he protected the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he had some respite in the early years of his da'wah and calling on to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what that allowed was for Muslims to come together and to build strong bonds. Bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood, bonds of spirituality, and having this common goal that we are all here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it didn't matter whether you were from a particular tribe, from a higher tribe, from a lower tribe, from a bigger caste or a lower caste, what color you were, what age you were, etc. None of these things mattered, and neither do they matter now in our religion, because we should always look at that our goal is the same, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when there comes a time for you in your workplaces, in your communities, to do something for the deen, don't look at who are you working with and whether you agree with their cultural ideologies or various other principles that they have. Look at, they are trying to achieve the same goal as me, and let's work together for the unity and to get do something more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the deen of Islam. And this is exactly how it led on to the battle of Badr. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with the Sahaba ikram, he was struggling in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and then some had left and moved, migrated to Abyssinia. And then people from the community of Yathrib at that time, they came and they pledged their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then we know these people as the Ansar, the helpers, the ones who aided the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the time came where the Sahaba ikram, they all left Makkah al-Mukarramah and they went and immigrated towards Yathrib at that time, which transformed into Madinatul Nabi. This is what the actual name was. Obviously, it was originally called Madinatul Nabi, and then it was changed into Madinatul Munawwara, and then it just became Medina now that people refer it to, but it actually was Madinatul Munawwara. And the reason why it was Munawwara, illuminated, because of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It was Madinatul Nabi because of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So when the Sahaba ikram, they all left and they immigrated to Yathrib or Medina at that time, they left every single thing that they had and they owned, and they only took what was on their backs. They only took what they could carry in their hands. That's all they took. Now imagine, most of you are, alhamdulillah, you're born here, the youngsters are born here, and even our parents, alhamdulillah, they've been here 30, 40 years of their lifetime. So imagine, you've lived here your entire life, 40, 50, 60 years. Your family, your khandan, your property, every single thing that you know, that you own, that is dear to you and near to you, is here in this town called Ashton underline Sharif. Imagine that. And then you have to leave everything. Your car, your room, your phone, your technology, your bank balance, your stocks, your shares, every single thing that you own, that you possess, you have to leave all of that. But you're not leaving it because I said it. You're not leaving it because your parents are forcing you. You're not leaving it for anything else. You're leaving it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you realize that all of the wealth of the dunya, no matter whether it's gold and bricks or diamonds, etc., all of that, it pales in comparison to the wealth of your iman, to the protection and the preservation of your iman. There's nothing more heavier, there's nothing more valuable than the wealth of iman. So this is what they were actually trying to preserve and protect, which was their iman, by leaving everything in Makkah and going to Madinatul Munawwara. So they left everything that they had and they followed the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So this is what they did. And this is one of the reasons why we'll come to why the skirmishes took place, the ghazawat took place, and then how it led up to the Battle of Badr. So when they reached Madinatul Munawwara, then they had the Ansar, who were the helpers, to welcome them. And within the Ansar, then they had the Aws and the Khazraj, and they had this long time dispute between themselves. But within Madinatul Munawwara, there was also many munafiqs, who were like outwardly Muslims, but inwardly they hated everything that was going on, and they're trying to undercut and undermine everything in terms of the message of Islam and the message of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And you had the muhajir, those people who immigrated from Makkah and went to Medina and had absolutely nothing now. They may have been the wealthiest in Makkah with the most property and land and gardens and so many other things, but now those same people had become the poorest and the downtrodden of society, because they have left everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Medina, they were the muhajir, but they were also understood and seen as the most poor and the destitute, the homeless. They had no home, they had no property, no wealth, nothing. These were the homeless, these were the wayfarers here in Madinatul Munawwara. But at the same time, within Medina, you had the Jews, who were very well off, and they controlled a huge amount of the economy in Madinatul Munawwara. They owned majority of the wells, they controlled the trade and the food, etc. So there was lots of stuff going on in Medina. So at that time, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to bring the community together, he developed the constitution of Medina, which is an important thing for us to remember and consider, that how we need to coexist and live together within Medina and interact with one another as well. And this is the basis of our life. The parameters of how Muslims operate in non-Muslim countries or in other places as well, that we live and we coexist and we work with one another for the betterment of humanity and for the society. So the constitution of Medina was born and written by the Prophet ﷺ. The brotherhood was there, made by the Prophet ﷺ, that every muhajir was then grouped up with an ansari and they said, okay, you need to share your house, your property, your wealth and your food and your business. So to give them a hands up and for them to develop themselves. And the Prophet ﷺ instructed for the muhajir and the ansar to live together but to establish peace in Madinatul Munawwara. Ya ayyuhan nas afshu salam, to spread salam, to live a life of peace and to spread peace and not cause any uproars or uprisings and all of those other things that go on in communities. Unfortunately, when we go to different communities, we are very, very vocal. This is our haq, this is our right, and you know, we want everything, and we are protesting and doing all of those things. But the first thing you need to do is become part of the community, lay down firm roots, work with the community, and then automatically the community will support you in your rights. But if you end up shouting and screaming, then the community will disown you. So this is just the background of the beginning of Islam, how the Muslims were persecuted and treated in Mecca, how many of them went to Abyssinia, and then how they were kicked out, literally kicked out of Mecca and entered into Medina. And here in Medina they are struggling financially, emotionally, they are struggling in every single way. We might think we're struggling now with our bills, we were struggling with the living costs and various other things. It is nothing. The Sahaba ikram from Mecca, the Muhajir, they had absolutely nothing. But they were still standing firm for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once they obviously established themselves in Madinatul Munawwara, then more and more obligations were placed upon them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah then also became fard. Before it wasn't. So then they would start practicing their deen much more. The zakat also then became fard when they were there in Medina. Ramadan also became fard when they were in Medina in the second hijrah. And then Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha and even the Qibla, all of these things changed and increased their spiritual workload and their efforts and engagement with their Lord, and also their engagement with the community, because all of these things are communal things that you do. The salah, the zakah, the Ramadan, the hajj, and all of these other things. And even the verses of the durood, inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, that was revealed once the Muslims were established firmly in Madinatul Munawwara. And then finally we come to the Battle of Badr, which took place once the Muslims were there for a few years, just in Madinatul Munawwara, and it took place on the 17th of Ramadan. But why did it actually take place? This is the next question. The reason why it took place is because you can imagine that if you have left everything in Ashton and gone somewhere away, and you were forced to go, and you were unable to take any of your belongings, and other people came and they took your property and your room and your land and your wealth, obviously within your heart you'd want what? You'd want your haqq. You'd say, wait a minute, I'm the actual and the real owner of that land and that property, I want to have that back. So the Muslims could not go back to Mecca, but then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to strengthen and reassure them, then the skirmishes or the ghazawat took place where they would go and they would try to take back some of their haqq from the caravans that would pass by, the caravans specifically of the Meccans that were there on trade, so that they could take back some of their wealth that was owed to them, that was due to them, that was their haqq, that was taken away from them unjustly by the Quraysh. And one of these caravans was led by Abu Sufyan, which was one of the largest caravans that was coming back from Syria from a huge amount of trade. And it had 40 guards with them. And the Prophet ﷺ's intention at that time was never to go into battle or to go into war, but rather to go and to take back from that caravan what was rightly owed to them, because they had been all of their wealth has been taken away from them. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard about this caravan, he told the Sahaba ikram to come together. And approximately 313 Sahaba ikram came together to go and to intercept this particular caravan, and they went into the very, very narrow valley of Badr. And they only had approximately 70 or so camels with them, and they had a few horses. And when Abu Sufyan, he heard that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is attempting to intercept this caravan, he sent a message or a messenger to the people of Quraysh, to Makkah, and say, look, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam will attack us and he will take all of your goods. And remember, they had invested in this caravan, so all of the people of Quraysh had a share in this caravan, so they did not want it to get looted, they did not want to fail in obviously acquiring all of their profits. So then they mustered all of the people. They had approximately 1,300 people. 313 of the Sahaba Ikram versus 1,300 people from the Quraysh, from Makkah, came with horses and cavalry and swords. They came fully loaded to come, not just to take away their caravan, but also to annihilate the Muslims, because they realized that in Makkah they got away. In Abyssinia, they got away. Now they're in Medina, and now we're going to finish them off and kill them off. And that's it. You know, this is the last straw. So this is their intention and why they actually came, in comparison to the intention of the Sahaba Ikram and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which was merely to take back what was owed to them and to receive back their right. But then Abu Sufyan, because he heard of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's imminent attack, then he changed his track. And he changed his route and he avoided the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's ambush entirely. But the people who were coming from Makkah at that time, they knew the caravan was safe. But Abu Jahl especially, he said, no, we are going to finish them off now, no matter what. We don't care about the caravan anymore. Our real intention and objective is to go and to kill the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and to remove the roots of Islam, so that we can go back to our control and our power in Makkah, and nobody else will ever stand up against us. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, hearing that the people of Quraysh, with 1,000 people and cavalry and horses and camels and so many other things, were coming to intercept them and to do battle with them, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam consulted the Sahaba ikram on what to do. And naturally, if you have left your home and you've not gone out with the intention of battle, to fight somebody, you've just gone to get something from a shop or something else, and then you realize 1,000 people are coming towards you, the emotions and the mind will naturally think, oh my God, what's going to happen? And you get anxious, you get worried, and you also get fearful as well. So this was the state of the Sahaba Ikram that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَزِلَّةٌ, that you were weak, that you were worried, you were anxious, you were fearful, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you that success. So the first thing the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did was to consult the Sahaba Ikram, the great Sahaba Ikram like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, and obviously the other illustrious Sahaba Ikram like Umar ibn Khattab and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and various other Sahaba Ikram that were there at that time, and also including the Ansar. And they replied that, we believe in you, Ya Rasulullah, that whatever you say, wherever you take us, to the depths of the ocean, to the depths of the earth, no matter where you take us, we believe in you and we will wholeheartedly follow you, no matter what the circumstances or what the consequences may be. So the Ansar, they reassured their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam then prepared himself and the Sahaba Ikram for this confrontation, for the battle with the Quraysh, who knew that were there to completely annihilate the Muslims. So one of the beautiful things that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught us before the battle of Badr commenced was that the entire night the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam just stood up crying and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that he was raising his hands higher and higher and higher, and the cloak or the chadar that he had over his shoulders would fall down. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and would pick it up and put it back onto his shoulders and say, Ya Rasulullah, that is enough, just take a break. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was so engrossed in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and knowing that he had to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find that success and the support from Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is an important reminder for us all, that generally when we apply for things, whether it's an interview for a job or do something else, we know that we have a certain amount of ability. We have 80% ability, my CV is great, my qualifications are good, and then we do 20% dua, and then we think, obviously, we'll be fine. Theek hai? But in this circumstance, the Sahaba Ikram had no hope. they knew how can 313 face 1,000 people? How can 70 mere, obviously, camels and one or two horses and barely a dozen of so swords, how can this limited amount face 1,000 camels or horses or other people from Quraysh with cavalry and with swords and with spears and so many other things? They did not have that 80% and 20%. They were completely fearful that, you know, we don't have any chance. And this is where their du'as, which came from their heart. This is an important thing, that when you have 80-50, 80-20 or 50-50 in your heart and you call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your dua will reach maybe 80% or maybe 50% to Allah azza wa jal. But when you know you have absolutely no way out, you know that there is nobody else who can help you in this particular situation except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you do that dua, girgirakar as they say, wholeheartedly, with a broken heart, with tears in your eyes, and know that Allah, there is no savior apart from you. There is no success apart from you. Then when that dua comes out, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears that dua and responds to that dua, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did when Allah azza wa jal sent down Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and sent down thousands and thousands, up to 5,000 angels with the Jibreel alayhi salam to go and aid and assist the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ikram at that time. But before the battle took place, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam to reassure the Muslims that the nasr, the success and the triumph and the victory was with them. Why? Not because of their numbers, not because they had the Prophet, because they were unhaq, because they were calling on to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they were defending the call of Islam. They weren't doing it for their culture, for their bradri, for their tribe, for their wealth, for their community, for their children, for their wives, none of these things. They were doing it solely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, solely in following the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, solely to defend the deen of Islam. This is their sole reason. Pure selflessness, pure altruism for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we can achieve that state in our heart, that we do things solely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the deen of Islam, then nothing will be impossible for you. Even if you have the entire country against you, look at how, you know, the entire nations are against our brothers and sisters in Palestine, our brothers and sisters in Yemen, in other places. But what do they have? One thing that nobody else can take away from them: their yaqeen, their tawakkul, their reliance, their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the difference. Whether you are 1,000 or 1,000,000 versus 1,000,000,000 people, you still hold fast, which is exactly what the Sahaba ikram did. The 313, they hold fast. They held fast before these people because of their yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the lessons that we need to develop in our lives, that strengthen our yaqeen and our iman in Allah azza wa jal. As for the battle of Badr, it took place in the month of Ramadan, on the 17th of Ramadan, in the second hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a migration. It was an army of 313 Muslims against an army of 1,000 soldiers, just 313 normal individuals. They haven't been trained in martial arts or in the fare of war or anything else. Neither do they have any of those weapons. There's 313 versus 1,000 people who come fully equipped as soldiers with cavalry to annihilate them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَزِلَّ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That even though you were few in number, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave you success so that you may be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How is it that a small company can overcome a large company? It is only by the permission and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you do sincere acts of worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the miracles that happen at the hand of Musa alayhi salam, with his staff turning into a snake, with his staff splitting the Red Sea, the miracles that took place with the hands of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the other miracles that took place with all of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those miracles or those mu'ajizat and those karamat can also take place in your lives as well. But you have to make sure that your iman and your conviction reaches the same level as the level of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or at least at the level of the Sahaba ikram, when they knew that no success will come apart from from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they knew this is the first thing, that victory, true victory and complete victory is actually and only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. That you did not actually kill them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who actually killed them by instructing the angels to go. And the Sahaba ikram, they describe that the mushrikeen were just standing there and their heads were just flying off because of the angels chopping their heads off. And before the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam went and he specifically named people. And he said, this individual will die here. This individual will die here and here and here and here. He pointed out to all of those places. And exactly after the battle was complete, all of those places were those individuals that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had pointed at. Again, reassuring the heart of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, reassuring the heart of the Sahaba ikram, that no matter what circumstances may be in front of you, how insurmountable things may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory is with you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is defeating them. And it wasn't the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam or the Sahaba ikram, but it was the aid and the victory of Allah azza wa jal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled them. So all of this, the Battle of Badr, was actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Were these 313 people going to stay there and stand behind their imam, stand behind their nabi, stand behind their rasul, and stand before the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or were these 313 going to run away? Ask yourself in your position. You're under the Arabian sun, in the basking heat, in the sand, it's hot, in the month of Ramadan, you are fasting. They only opened their fast just before they went into battle. Up until then, they were fasting. So imagine yourself in that situation. What would you do? You know there's only 313 of you. None of you can barely even fight. You don't even have many swords. Would you have stood there? Would you have run a mile? So it was actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see the conviction and the sincerity and the devotion of the Sahaba ikram. Same way it was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter his own son. Allah ta'ala never wanted him to physically slaughter it. He wanted to see whether he was willing to do it. And this is the same thing, to see the willingness and the sincerity of the Sahaba ikram, to see whether you are willing to do it or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit from your wealth or from anything else that you do. He's just testing you to see whether you're willing to give up your money for the sake of Allah, whether you're willing to give up your time for the sake of Allah, whether you're willing to sacrifice your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you pass that test, then indeed you have succeeded in the deen as well as in the dunya. But many people don't even go into that test, don't even apply for that test. We run away before the test even begins. So this is one of the greatest lessons from the Battle of Badr, that victory is always with Muslims. Victory is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah has chosen our religion. Allah has perfected our religion. And Allah says this is the final and complete religion. So the success will always be with us. But we need to make sure that we always stand firm and stand fast. And we are ready to sacrifice. Just the way the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us in the Qur'an, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That declare that my salah, all forms of my worship, all forms of my sacrifices and everything that I have, including my life and my death, who is it for? It's solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the test from Allah azza wa jal to the Sahaba ikram, to see whether they were willing to give up their lives for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, or were they going to run away. This is one of the important lessons of the Battle of Badr. And the next thing we learned from the Battle of Badr in terms of a lesson was that never devalue the power of dua or think that things are impossible. No, things may be impossible for you, for me, for our friends and our family and for everybody else in the dunya, but nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you call out to Allah azza wa jal with a pure pukar, with a pure scream, with a pure invocation, pure pleading to Allah azza wa jal, then the impossible becomes possible. The moon can split, the impossible becomes possible. Water can come through the fingers, the impossible becomes possible. The suffer from Makkah to Medina to the Mi'raj, everything impossible becomes possible, and it's possible that 313 overcomes a people of 1,000 when you call out to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala reminds us, the power of dua. Istastaghisuna rabbakum fastajaba lakum anni mumiddukum bi alfin min al malaikati murdifin. That remember, when you pleaded, one is just calling, doing dua, Allah give me this. When you're pleading, when you're absolutely desperate and you have no other chance, no other way, all other avenues and opportunities are closed and sealed to you. When you are pleading in that state, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, istastaghisuna rabbakum fastajaba lakum, and then your Lord answered your plea, answered your call, answered your desperation and said, don't worry, indeed I will reinforce you with 1,000 angels. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala continues, no, I will enforce you with 3,000 angels. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala continue to say up to 5,000 angels. Bala in tasbiru wa tattaku wa ya'tukum min fawrihim hadha yumdidkum rabbukum bi khamsati alafin min al malaikati musawwimin. But if you remain true and continue to turn to me and remain steadfast and remain patient and remain conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, even though the enemy is right in front of your eyes, and with their arrows they can pierce your heart, with their swords they can chop off your neck, but if you remain patient in spite of the enemies right in front of you, and they're attacking you, and them being in complete rage, what would Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala do? Allah will reinforce you with 5,000 angels. Subhanallah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala could have just sent Mikael, could have sent just Jibra'il alayhi salam, could have sent just Malakul Maut and say, take all of their lives away. Just one angel was enough. But no, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wanted to reassure and strengthen the hearts of the Muslims and say, I'll send 1,000, I'll send 5,000 angels to support you, but you have to be firm. You have to stand. You have to realize that they can't harm you, but Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, why? Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is protecting you. So when the time comes in your religion, when you need to stand up for your religion, when you need to sacrifice for your religion, and to show people what the Quran is, what the Sunnah is, don't be afraid of one employer, or one institution, or in government, or entire country, or all of humanity. Even if they are against you, if you stand firm, Allah is with you, then you have every victory, you will have every success. And this is what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is reminding them in the Battle of Badr, that the power of dua and the power of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as reassurance to the Sahaba ikram, and his yaqeen that Allah Azza wa Jal will grant them success. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam didn't just command. You know, what do our commanders do? They sit in their homes on their computers and laptops and say, do this, this strategy, that strategy. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was at the forefront in the entire battle of Badr. He wasn't just sitting on the sides and saying, you do this and you do this. And this is again a reminder for us all that we can't, just because of our age or expertise or knowledge, think, okay, you do this, you do this. No, when the time comes, you stand forward and you do whatever you physically can. Not just what you can do intellectually, what you can do physically in the way of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Know that success will come when you show leadership and show strength in the way of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So the Muslims won because of their yaqeen, because of their conviction, because of their sincerity in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because of their pleading to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and knowing that the true power and victory is with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because deen is haqq, the Quran is haqq, the Nabi is haqq, the Rasul is haqq, the Sahaba ikram is haqq. So how can batil ever win over us? And this is what you need to remember as well, that قَدْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ, that haqq is there, apparent, and will remain here till eternity, and batil will always diminish and be removed. But we need to remain strong as people of haqq. When we are weak, then the batil will overcome us. The Sahaba ikram showed that even though there were 313, their haqq far outweighed 1,000 people and all of their cavalry. And similarly, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala reminds us to the like of Ibrahim alayhi salam, inna Ibrahima kana umma, that Ibrahim alayhi salam's yaqeen and iman and tawakkul and reliance was the equivalent of an entire ummah, an entire civilization, an entire community. And imagine the yaqeen and the iman of the Sahaba ikram, and the yaqeen and the iman of those 313 people who stood firm even though they thought they were going to be annihilated. So make sure that you always strengthen your iman, your conviction, always call out to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and know that victory is always with you, always with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala enable us all to learn from all of the lessons of Badr, and send abundant peace and blessings upon all of those people who passed away, the 14 Sahaba Ikram who passed away in the Battle of Badr, from the Muhajireen and the Ansar. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their rank and their maqam, and send abundant peace and blessings upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.